Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Now, next up, we have Professor Barry Shoup on the line. He is the chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID vaccines. And we're going to be discussing World Antimicrobial Week. Good afternoon, Professor Shoup.
Good afternoon, Robin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Not sure.
Hopefully you've had a little bit of a more relaxing time now than things have quietened a little bit.
It has quietened certainly as far as COVID, but I must emphasize it hasn't disappeared. It hasn't gone away. We're still having lots and lots of people being infected. But fortunately, the great, great majority mildly.
Yeah.
But it's still there. It's still there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to chat more about that also. But just maybe to fill our listeners in is, so World Antimicrobial Week. So microbial is a substance that kills microorganisms such as bacteria or mold or stops them from growing and causing disease. So what exactly is that?
Okay. Well, you know, when we talk about microbes, as you know, we're talking about things which you can see under the microscope. So it's mainly concerned with bacteria, but also other very, very small organisms which can cause disease. Antimicrobials are various drugs or chemicals which are used to kill off and therefore treat diseases caused by microbes. So the big problem is antimicrobial resistance. And this is really a major, major problem which the global health authorities are very, very concerned about. In fact, this has really been labeled as probably the next most important, menacing pandemic. That's the growth of antimicrobial resistance, mainly affecting bacteria, to some extent also viruses, and also sometimes like malaria, for example, protozoa. In other words, all these microbes. So it really is a major problem that you're kind of really worried about.
So I know if antimicrobial is also antibiotics, right? And we know there's a big problem like with people not taking the full course or taking too many, and then it stops becoming effective. So is that?
That's exactly that. Yeah, it includes antibiotics, of course, are the largest group of antimicrobials. And yes, the kind of resistance is due to a number of factors. The most important one, the most widespread one is, as you pointed out, that people who are put onto antibiotics, often unnecessarily so, they just simply put onto the antibiotics because they pressurize the doctors, they pressurize the general practitioners to put them onto antibiotics when they're not necessary, in fact, in the great majority of cases. You know, people go for a cold or a sore throat and so on. And in most cases, antibiotics are not indicated because it's due to viruses which are not susceptible to antibiotics. And as a result, because of this widespread use of antibiotics, these organisms develop resistance. It's a kind of a Darwinian evolutionary selective thing. Mm-hmm. You know, these organisms multiply very rapidly, the offspring of these bacteria. Where there's an environment of antibiotics are selected for those clones which are in fact resistant, and therefore they amplify and they become the dominants. And this is what's happened with so many of our bacteria. I can give you many examples if we've got time, but maybe I can give you one really very, very worrying example, and that's TB. You know, TB is such an important bacterial disease in South Africa. And it used to be relatively easy to treat if people stayed the course. So they took the antibiotics as prescribed for a longer period of time. And obviously what often happens, people start and they get better and they stop taking it. And therefore that remnant of bacteria which are not killed off, they survive. And in the case of TB, we first had what we call MDR, which stood for multi-drug resistant TB, MDR. And many of the antibiotics used to treat TB could not be used. So they had to use other drugs which were, first of all, more expensive, second of all, more toxic, more side effects, and not quite as effective. Wow. And then it actually graduated to what's called XDR, which is extremely drug resistant tuberculosis. And that became very, very difficult to treat. And this is one of the kind of problems.
And how do you overcome that once somebody has become resistant to that medication?
Well, you have to really then look for other antibiotics. This is a big problem. It's a big challenge because there are not many new antibiotics, but we have to search in our armamentarium for other antibiotics. And usually these are more, first of all, more expensive, but usually not quite as effective, and very often they cause more severe side effects. So, you know, like, for example, penicillin was, one of the kind of hallmarks of antibiotic therapy. And penicillin was effective to a wide spectrum of bacteria. And in fact, Alexander Fleming, you know, the guy that made penicillin, way back in the 1940s, predicted, he said, look, don't abuse my antibiotic or this antibiotic because you guys are going to develop resistance. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Now, things like, for example, the pneumococcus caused pneumonia, that's become largely resistant to penicillin. And, you know, this is a problem. The other problem with antibiotics is the widespread use in the agricultural center, spectrum. You know, it's been used for, treating cattle and so on. And it gets into the environment, these resistant organisms.
Mm.
So it's a multifaceted problem, and it needs a multifaceted approach to the problem.
Absolutely.
But it's become very serious and kind of concern,
Absolutely. So now, just going back to the COVID vaccine, are there worries that vaccine has become, there's a resistance to that now?
No. One doesn't develop resistance to vaccines because it's not, but what vaccines do is that they stimulate the immune system in the body. In other words, it's not, in the case of the antibiotics, these are chemicals used to kill the organisms, and those organisms that survive develop resistance. In the case of vaccines, what the vaccine does is that it stimulates the body's immunity. So you don't develop a resistance to the vaccine.
Okay. So
I hope I explained it.
Yeah. But now, just because we've got like 1 minute left, so maybe just as we mentioned right at the beginning, COVID has not left us completely, but it has, thank God, become less strong and people are having much milder symptoms. Do you recommend that people still go for booster shots, and is that necessary?
I think it's necessary because that immunity, unfortunately, doesn't last forever. It does wane after 4, 6, 8 months, whatever. Different in different people, and it wanes more quickly in older people. So it is important to kind of keep up and maintain that immunity. And people should have at least, the 4 doses, certainly if you're over 50 years of age or you've got underlying illness, it's important to have the 4th dose as well. So yes, I think people should keep up with the vaccination to maintain their immunity.
Okay, great. So are there still vaccine centres open around the country?
Yeah, that's a big problem because there are less and less of them because people aren't coming for vaccination. So what I normally advise people is that they should phone the kind of the head office of the big pharmaceutical chains, the Dis-Chems and the Clicks and those companies, and then ask them which of their branches have got vaccine available. Because not all, only a few on the sites have got, and they might or might not have stocks. So it's very important to phone first, make sure that particular branch has got the vaccine, and then go for it.
Super. Thank you so much, Professor Barry Shoup, the Chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID Vaccines. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.